ABC Radio Australia.
To the high seas now, where Pacific Island nations are increasingly finding themselves associated with so-called shadow fleets, which are being used to transport black market oil. New figures show there's more than 100 dark fleet ships currently sailing under Pacific nation flags, 49 from Palau, 27 from Marshall Islands, and 22 from the Cook Islands. The ships, which are often poor, which are often old and poorly maintained, are often linked to the transport of Russian crude oil, which is used to fund its illegal invasion of Ukraine. To find out more, I'm joined by an expert associate at the Australian National University's National Security College, Jen Parker. Jen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem at all. Now, let's start, I guess, at the beginning. Who is behind these shadow fleets and how do they operate?
Well, it's not really one entity behind these shadow fleets. It's more of a maritime ecosystem that has kind of evolved with kind of state-linked, specifically oil exporters in the case of sanctions, trying to evade these sanctions. That tends to be Russia, Iran, Venezuela, North Korea as well, in terms of sanctions on them for nuclear weapons development. That is supported by a web of kind of private enablers. So traders, commodity brokers, ship owners, ship managers, operators, etc., who go down this path of financing and supporting this shadow fleet. And then finally, the third kind of cog in that wheel that supports this is countries that have open registries that are obviously often called flags of convenience, where they will register, so flag a vessel to them, but they have no genuine connection and don't ensure that that vessel supports IMO, International Maritime Organization regulation. So it's kind of this ecosystem. And really what shadow fleets or dark fleets are, they're these kind of ships that operate outside of normal international regulations, whether that is safety regulations or labour regulations or regulations about the fact that you need to tell people where you are when you're at sea. So that's kind of who's behind it and how they operate. These vessels too, these shadow fleet vessels, tend to be quite dangerous. So they often tend to be quite old. So in fact, there's some numbers that say about 60% of the shadow fleet that supports Russia's evasion of oil sanctions are actually over 15 years old. And one of the issues with that is older tankers, especially ones on open registries where the flag state or the registry state isn't making sure that they're complying with classification or insurance, so they have the right safety standards and maintenance, they tend to be a lot more prone to accidents, oil spills, and those kind of issues.
Yeah, it's pretty concerning stuff. Let's talk about these ship registries, because many of these tankers are sailing under Pacific flags. How are so many of these vessels managing to get registered? And how are Pacific Island nations, you know, getting caught up in their activities?
Well, it really starts with the way the oceans are managed. So the way the oceans are managed, there's the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, which is generally the constitution of the ocean. Now, that establishes that effectively flag states or the registry of a ship have primacy over that ship, and they also have the responsibilities for ensuring that ship complies with the IMO, International Maritime Organization regulations that I mentioned before. Now, that requires there to be a genuine linkage between the ship that the country that registers a vessel and the ship. But over time, that has eroded, and we've seen this development of what's called open registries. And there are at least five, I think maybe a couple more, open registries in the Pacific. Now, these are registries that are set up for commercial purposes. So a country will choose to register a vessel, but it has no linkage to the ownership of that vessel to that country. And a good example is kind of the Cook Islands right now. So the Cook Islands was determined to, in December, have about 20 sanctioned vessels under US sanctions on their registry and about 15 under the British sanctions list. So there's no genuine connection between the state and that ship. It becomes a commercial transaction. And what we see with these shadow fleets is, to avoid being caught up in sanctions or held accountable for their behaviour, these ships will chop registries and they'll move to countries who are not going to pay much attention to Is that ship dodgy? What is it doing? Is it on a sanctions list? Has it been breaching IMO regulations? Is it breaching labour regulations? So often Pacific countries, because they have limited ability, because their population size, their budget size, to really enforce these rules on these ships or really do due diligence onto what are the ships they're registering, they're often seen as targets for these dodgy vessels to register with those flag states.
Well, yeah, and as a result, as we saw with Cook Islands, it was about 12 months ago where it was their flag that was flying on a ship that ended up getting seized in the Baltic Sea for allegedly severing a communications cable, if I recall correctly. I mean, with that example in mind, are Pacific nations potentially, like, could they potentially find themselves liable or risk reputational damage if their flag is associated with some of these ships, particularly if they go on to, cause maritime incidents or disasters?
Yeah, so they definitely can find themselves liable. So you're right. The Eagle S was a flag to the Cook Islands. It was arrested by Finland in late 24 and accused of cutting a series of seabed cables. And an important thing to know that these shadow fleets don't just support sanctions busting. They also often create maritime security issues. So there's been allegations of attacking maritime infrastructure, environmental issues, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of liability of Pacific Islands that choose to register these vessels, yes. So there is very clearly reputational risk. And what happens with that is if a country is seen to be flagging these vessels that don't comply with IMO regulations, that create safety and environmental risks and bust sanctions, then you might find that other ports won't allow vessels flagged to that country in anymore, or insurers might refuse to work with that registry. So there's kind of that reputational risk. From a legal risk, absolutely, because as I mentioned, under the UN Convention of the Law of the Sea, it is flag states that are responsible for ensuring that their vessels comply with IMO regulations. So even though there's no real connection between the vessel and the flag state, under international law, there is a linkage there and they're responsible. And what you find with a lot of these shadow vessels is they're often not correctly insured, or they're set up by a series of shell companies, so their owner isn't clear. So when they have an incident, so specifically, an environmental incident, for example, and there's been a number around the world that have been attributed to shadow fleets, then if they can't find out who owns that vessel, or if that vessel doesn't have insurance, then they could actually come after the flag state legally and require them to pay to clean it up. Now, there's not a lot of examples of that happening, but it could happen. So really, these Pacific Islands that create open registries and flag these shadow vessels are opening themselves not only to reputational risk, but also legal risk and commercial risk in terms of countries may stop allowing vessels flagged to them to go into their ports.
Yeah, it's super interesting. It kind of leads me into my next question. It seems to me, and this is just judging from what I've seen online in YouTube videos and things like that, many of these ships kind of seem to operate in plain sight. What prevents authorities from monitoring them or regulating their activity? And I guess by an extension of that, what stops Pacific Island ship registries from being able to properly monitor them so they can deregister them, I guess?
Look, this is a really great question. And I think that, with everybody having access to Google Maps and things like Marine Tracker, we seem to think that we live in a world where we know where everything is at every time. But actually, when it comes to the oceans, that's not the case. So, 70% of the world is ocean, and it's really hard to track what is happening across those oceans. What makes it harder with these shadow fleets? One, they often don't use AIS. So every ship above a certain size, so certainly all these tankers, have to use the automatic identification system under the International Maritime Organization's regulations. But most of them turn it off, or they'll fake their position. So, for example, one of the ships seized by the US over the weekend was saying that it was at sea off Guyana when it was, in fact, alongside in Venezuela. The second element is they often change their flags of registration. They often change their names or paint over their names or put fake names in their AIS system or fake destinations. And then they often have kind of opaque ownership where it's hard to work out who actually owns them. Now, working out that ships are doing these things can be quite labour intensive or admin intensive. So for small registries that don't have that support, it can be quite difficult to understand what is the ship and who owns it that you've registered and what is it actually doing.
Yeah, well, it is super interesting, and it does sound like a real minefield to navigate. Just touching on what you said before about how these ships are quite old and poorly maintained, do they pose potential environmental risks at all?
So they pose significant environmental risks. One, because, as I said, the lack of maintenance. Two, because of the fact that they often go around the oceans without having their location, so their AIS on, which means that there have been a number of collisions where ships didn't detect them and then collided with other ships. Politico actually has a report out that says that they have managed to detect at least 13 massive oil slicks by satellite technology where shadow fleet vessels have spilled oil over the side. In fact, there's an example off Scotland in early 24 where they found a 23-kilometre oil slick that had been left by a shadow fleet vessel. And these things cause huge impacts to coastal communities, especially coastal communities that are dependent on fishing. And what makes that more complicated is because these shadow fleets often aren't insured or properly insured, or you can't work out who the owner is, then it often becomes the coastal community who's responsible for paying for that cleanup.
Yeah, and we've seen that in recent weeks and months, what the damage that oil can do to coastal communities, particularly in places like Micronesia, where there's lots of, World War II shipwrecks and things like that. Just finally, Jen, because we are running out of time, given the revenue and the oil from a lot of these dark fleets actually go on to, it's believed they go on to fund nefarious activities such as, the Ukraine war and things like that. And with that, I think comes some serious reputational damage for Pacific Island nations. How can they better protect themselves going forward? Like, is there anything they can do, or are they just, too small and under-resourced?
So, look, you're right. It is serious reputational damage, and not just because the movements of these ships are funding, Russia's illegal war in Ukraine. They're funding, Iranian-backed proxies that are supporting terrorism in the Middle East and all sorts of other things around the world that are causing huge instability. I guess from a small state perspective, look, association with these ships really does matter. And we've seen, the Cook Islands come under some criticism early this year for this point. I think really these small islands need to be looking at, one, how do they manage their open registry? Two, can they get support? So the IMO is offering support to actually help clean up registries. Three, are they working with countries that have more ability to know what these ships are doing? And then four, are they deregistering these ships when it becomes clear that they are either, supporting busting of sanctions, or they are unsafe, or they don't have clear ownership, or they don't have insurance? So all of that really, it means doing due diligence and working with organisations like the IMO that can help flag states do due diligence. But in the end, to protect their reputation, small islands need to be removing these ships from their registry when they find that they are busting sanctions or unsafe, et cetera.
Well, I hope they're listening to this interview. I know I've tried to speak with Maritime Cook Islands in the past about this issue without success, but now hopefully something can be done, because I do think it's a pretty massive issue that could potentially get worse going forward. Jen, that's all we've got time for, but great insight as always, and thank you very much for joining us on Pacific Beat today.
Thanks so much.
Not a problem at all. That was Jennifer Parker from the Australian National University's at National Security College.